So a couple of years ago, as a pastoral team, we put our heads and our hearts together and we thought, okay, what can we do as a funnel to pause, funneling down to a moment where we can pause in the life of our church once a year and do something that celebrates what Jesus is doing in and through our midst. And we thought it would be cool if we had it in the spring because a few different funnels go through that. We've got people coming to Christ by faith around Christmas. We've got people coming to Christ by faith through Easter and our Easter services. We have fifth and sixth graders coming through a baptism class where they own their faith in Christ and make a commitment to be baptized publicly. We have our students coming back from Mexico like we did a couple of weeks ago. And then we also have a new members class kind of coming and graduating and coming into the life of our church. And so with all those different funnels, we thought, here's a service where we can celebrate the life in our church. And so this morning, you're going to see men, women, and children going public with the fact that they've come to faith in Jesus, that they're reaffirming their faith in Jesus, that they're joining the family of Jesus, or that they're going public for the first time about their faith in Jesus through the covenant of baptism. So lots to celebrate this morning. So I want to invite our pastors up here who are going to be a part of this, and also every man, woman, and child who's coming into membership, who's being anointed, who's reaffirming their baptism, or getting baptized. So everybody up on here on stage, it's going to be a beautiful mess of the Lord. It's going to be awesome. So come on up.
All right, come on up, guys. We're going to get cozy up here. We're just going to all squeeze in. All right, welcome.
Yes, more, Lord, more.
Awesome. Come on up. All right, as we're gathering up here, for every person that's standing up here, today is an opportunity for them to make a public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ before all of you as witnesses, as a part of their church family. And so today is a really special day. And the way that we're going to do that first together is I get to ask you three really, really important questions. If your answer to these questions is yes, as your church family, we really want to hear your yes. So make it nice and strong. Okay, you guys ready for these? Here's our questions. The first one is this. Do each of you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in need of God's forgiveness and salvation?
Yes.
All right. Secondly, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and trust in Him alone to be your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Fantastic. And then lastly, do you commit to living as a disciple of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel, and serving God's mission in the world by the gracious help of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Amen to that. We are witnesses. We have heard your yes today. And now we get to invite some of you into church membership. Kathy, you want to?
Yes, so I'm going to. Invite all of our members, if you could step forward so you're up towards the front of the stage, if you could, so we know who's joining. We have 43 new members that we are bringing into membership and celebrating. Yeah. And so we are delighted to get to introduce to you to all of them, and they have answered these questions, the three questions, and then I'm going to ask them a fourth question as they join the church in membership, and just delighted to be able to welcome each one of you as you come with your own stories of faith, and I know God's gotten a hold of each one of you, and now we welcome you into this family of faith and just celebrate with you today as you are making this commitment. And so I'm going to have you turn and look at the fourth question up there that we're asking you as you join this church. Do you now promise to serve Christ in His church and support and submit to the leadership of Community Presbyterian Church? Do you?
Yes.
Great. And let me ask you, the congregation, a question. Would you, as members of CPC, would you promise to guide and nurture these new members by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of the church? Do you?
We do.
Thank you. So you get to hold them to that promise as they continue to encourage you and pray for you. And I'm going to ask all of our new members, if you would, just introduce yourselves right now, if you could do that.
I'm Ruth Resch.
Oh,
and you can pass the mic. Thank you.
Leanne Anderson.
Erica Anderson.
Mark Anderson.
Linda Stuppy.
Brenda Younginger.
Dorian Martin.
Susan Burrows.
I just got it. Debbie Sapp.
Jamie Sapp.
Donna Gauthier.
Donald Gauthier.
Jacob Martin.
Shane Litzenberger.
Katie Litzenberger.
Amelia Zender. Megan Robinson.
Brenda, do you want to come up?
Doug Aitken.
Bree Aitken.
Karen Lush.
Cameron Lush.
Elaine Dean.
I'm Forrest Smith.
Cheryl Smith.
Olivia Smith.
That's great. Did we get everybody? Yes. All right.
Okay.
And you met many of the other, we had the other new members joining at the 9 o'clock service, but we wanted to celebrate with all of these new members as they join our church family and just had a great time at membership class with them and hope that you get to know all of their stories a little bit better as you share your story with them and want to continue to be praying for you and just welcome you today. So glad to have you be joining our faith family. And now Scott has a very special moment for his family.
I'd like to invite Todd and Abby Farmer forward to have their son, Scott Todd Farmer, baptized. And Grandpa Todd, would you stand, because you're a namesake as well, so we're kind of in this together. And we baptize infants celebrating that God's grace comes before we even respond to it, that God claimed us, and that's what this celebrates. And in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, they circumcise the children of the covenant as a signal that they have been claimed by God and called by God. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about when the parents are believers, then the children are wholly set aside. And we claim that as well. This is where we start, and later on you'll hear about those who have made the faith their own. But Todd, a scripture for the moment.
This is from Proverbs 3, it's verses 1 through 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight.
Amen.
Good luck. Your title. He woke up from a nap for this. Todd, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And know that just as you were loved before you were born by not only your earthly parents, but your heavenly Father, so one day I pray that you claim Jesus as your Savior. And as you grow physically and spiritually, you one day name Jesus as your very own and serve him in your generation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, for a lot of our friends that were up here, they too were baptized when they were little. And that was an event that, while significant, doesn't have a tangible memory for them. So, while baptism of infants reminds us that God begins extending his grace to us and reaching into our lives even before we recognize it, baptism is also an invitation for us to respond. And so, for those who were baptized as infants, we have the opportunity for several of them to own that baptism, just as we prayed for this young man to come to know the Lord personally, to grow into that baptism. So we have the opportunity to celebrate the answer to that prayer for many who are up here, to celebrate that God has extended his grace, that they have responded, that they claim Christ now as their own personal Lord and Savior. And so we're going to celebrate that as they've grown into their baptisms in a couple of different ways. One is anointing with oil. Throughout both the Old and the New Testament scriptures, we find cases where individuals were anointed with oil as an outward sign of God's blessing upon their life, a symbol representing that God had claimed them as his very own for his special purposes. And so just as the oil outwardly marks a person with the sign of the cross, it represents this marking of God's spirit on them, God's blessing upon their life. And so we'll have the opportunity to celebrate some anointings here this morning. We're also going to have the opportunity to reaffirm several baptisms. And we do that both with sprinkling and with immersion. Again, we're not rebaptizing these individuals because we are absolutely convinced that God was very present when they were just infants, small children being baptized, that God was there. He knew that moment and what it meant to him. And we are now giving them a tangible way to experience something that they have lost the memory of because they were very young. And so we're kind of inserting a new physical, tangible experience in their walk with Jesus as a marker and as a connection to that prior baptism that they're now claiming for themselves. And so this is a great moment in the lives of these believers who have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'd like to invite those who are being anointed with oil to come up front here. And Kath and I will celebrate these together. Come on up. All right. Let's see, Mark 2. All right. We'll just have you guys kind of line up here. Along the front, very good. All right. And so, Linda, having heard your profession of faith in Christ, I anoint you with this oil in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And just as this oil marks your forehead with the cross, God's Spirit is marking your life and claiming you as his own. So may God bless you with his truth, his grace, and his presence all the days you journey with him. Amen.
And Brenda's going to share a little bit about her own testimony and coming to faith.
Okay, as I was a child, I was brought up in the church. My parents didn't pray very much at home, but I had a wonderful group of teenage friends that loved to go to church. So I thank very much for the youth pastor and everything about the church. We went to church on Sundays, and we went to church during the holidays with my parents. And then I thought, oh, I better get to know Jesus a little bit better. So we had two darling daughters, and I realized that I needed to know Christ a little bit better. So I started reading his word, and I realized that my daughters need a strong, I'm gonna cry today.
It's okay.
My daughters need a strong foundation, just like I did. So I feel like, excuse me, I'm happy. God transformed my life. I have a wonderful husband, and I realize that God is my very, very best friend, and that any time of the day or night, I can talk to him. I can talk to him 100 times, and I hope everybody else feels that way too with Christ. And I just want to say that he has given me a better spirit, a more loving and kind nature to those around me. And I just want to thank him for being my
That's
Savior.
Awesome.
That's wonderful.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I know you have two beautiful adult daughters and husband George. And so today, Brenda, I anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Brenda, I pray that you would continue to love and enjoy God's favor on you and your family this day, that you'll keep praying 100 times mm-hmm. over and be an incredible witness to the faith this day and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Brenda, you got something to share with us too?
Sure.
Fantastic.
Okay. Excuse me. I just wanted to say that before God, in my life as a personal Savior, I was sad and lonely and just didn't feel really sure myself and didn't feel loved or anything. And so I started going to church myself, just walking to the neighborhood church around 4th grade. And at church there, I just started learning about Jesus and what it was all about. And everyone was so happy there, and they liked me. And I thought, gee, I want to be a part of this, you know. So then after that,
I just felt this peace and this confidence as I accepted Jesus and his assurance that he would always love me and never leave me. Until then, God's grace and forgiveness every day. Everyone can have it, so I hope you have it too. And a verse that's not really exciting in that it's very familiar, but it is my life verse because it keeps me going. And that is Philippians 3:14. Forgetting what is behind you and straining toward what is ahead of you, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That is exciting. That's a fantastic verse. So, Brenda, may today be a reminder as you journey forward with Christ that you belong to him, that he has claimed you as his daughter. And so, Brenda, I anoint you with this oil in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And may God bless you with the presence of his Holy Spirit. May you know his love, presence, and comfort all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen. So we want to welcome Jacob Martin today, and so glad that you're here, and want to have you share a little bit about how God's gotten a hold of you in your life.
For most of my childhood and upbringing, I struggled with church, and I've led a very lost lifestyle. I was dishonest, I was selfish, and very self-destructive. Through a very significant life-altering experience, I realized how far off the path I was. Coming to God and Jesus has changed my attitude, my outlook, to be more of a humble service and patient, kind person. I'm very blessed.
Awesome.
That's wonderful. Is that incredible? Awesome. Jacob, thank you for your honesty, for your vulnerability, and especially for your commitment to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so I anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I pray that God's work would continue to be made known in your life, that as you share his love and his grace, his forgiveness, you would know full well all the way deep down into your heart and follow him forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Congratulations.
All right.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Did you want to? Share a little bit about what this day means to you. Oops, sorry about that.
If you can hold that,
I will hold it. You bet.
I was blessed to be raised by loving Christian parents who presented me for holy baptism with the sprinkling of the Holy Spirit just a few weeks after my birth. I have grown up knowing the love of the Lord, the gift of his son Jesus, who lived with us, suffered a painful death for our sins, and was resurrected so that we who believe in him will have gracious life. The gracious gift of eternal life with God the Father and his Son in heaven. Now in the season years of my life, having received many years of God's abundant blessings with faith and God's love firmly anchored in my heart, I know my life has a purpose formed and shaped to serve God. The Holy Spirit is leading the way to connect with and serve others and glorify God using the abilities and the talents that he has given uniquely to each one of us.
Fantastic, Susan, that's encouraging. Thanks for being willing to share a little bit. And so, Susan, this is an outward sign and a reminder that God's intention is to continue to bless you. As he claims you as his daughter, as he continues to show himself faithful to you, I anoint you with the mark of the cross with this oil in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May this day and what it represents be a reminder to you that God intends to bless you and to keep you close to his heart. May you know that love and presence all the days of your life. God bless you. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Come on forward, Mark.
Excuse me.
Let's see, you're getting anointed too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on up here. All right. All right, fantastic.
Great. Great. So for me, this is a reaffirmation. I've known Christ since I was young and have been blessed to know him, not always being able to accept my acceptance of him. And so this is just a sign of complete surrender and just allowing God to be the Lord and Savior that he is for me and hopefully for you.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for being willing to share a little bit, Mark. So, Mark, I anoint you with this oil in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May this outward sign sink deep into your soul as a reminder that God loves you and calls you his son. May God bless you with his presence, with his love and faithfulness. May you know how close he is all the days of your life. God bless you, Mark.
Yeah. Amen.
And so now we have the opportunity to reaffirm some baptisms, whether it's by sprinkling or immersion. It's the same reminder of the same sacrament, giving these folks the opportunity to claim their baptism as their own, to connect a tangible experience with what was done years and years ago. So if you are being reaffirmed in your baptism, if you're doing that by sprinkling, I'd like you to come forward to the front here.
Yeah, and I get the privilege of coming down to do Ruth Rush, and she is joining our church and also reaffirming her faith through baptism this morning, through sprinkling. And Ruth grew up in the Jewish faith and came to know the Lord, and so it is a great privilege, Ruth, this morning, as we had a wonderful opportunity this week to just sit and to hear your story and your coming to faith and the ways that God has gotten a hold of you. And the ways that you have been living out the faith of Jesus Christ every day for many years now and given your life to him and surrendered your life to him. And this is a special moment for you, I know, to reaffirm your faith today and to ask to be sprinkled again with the water. And so, Ruth, it is my great privilege. You are a child of the King, sister in Christ. I reaffirm your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may you dwell in God's heart, and may God dwell in your heart this day and forevermore, as I know he does. God bless you. Amen. Would you celebrate with Ruth?
All right.
And we also have special towels that we're giving to everyone who's baptized. So I'm going to ask Scott to grab one of those towels, if you would. They say celebrate life on them. And it is great joy to get to do that.
All right. And then, Olivia, we're going next with you. You ready for this? So, Olivia, this is your opportunity to reclaim your baptism as your own, to reaffirm that. Long ago, people prayed for you that you would come to know the Lord, and you and I have had the chance to connect and to talk about it, and you have made a public declaration of your faith before all of your church family here today. And so, Olivia, I reaffirm your baptism as Christ has claimed you as his own. I reaffirm that baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May God bless you with his love and his presence all the days that you journey with him.
That's great. There they are. Is that a great towel? It's fun to get to give those away. And Cheryl, I know your family, you're here together. And so would you share how God's gotten a hold of you and a little bit more about your faith journey?
Sure. Growing up, my dad played golf. So my mom would get my little organ out and I'd play chords and she'd read Bible stories. But I really met Jesus Christ when my husband took me to his church in Los Angeles. And then we moved up here 10 years ago, and I'd say we've dated this church. And through some deep grief, God has transformed my heart and brought me back to a church family. He's transformed my relationships and my career for one of intent and purpose. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
I'm going to move on to the other side. It's been a great joy to watch the transformation that's happening in your life, Cheryl, and just to get to walk alongside you. I know in the loss of your mom and just the ways that God is continuing to be at work in you. And so, Cheryl, I reaffirm your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that God's Spirit would continue to do a good work in you and through you as you share his love and grace with those around you all the days of your life. Amen. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And we're going to have Fori also share a little bit, if you would, and tell us how God's gotten a hold of you.
I've had several reaffirmations of finding God. I'll share a little story. I was 19 years old. I was a sophomore in college. I had the opportunity to play college and some professional football, and my job was to stand on the goal line and receive the opening kickoff. in front of 80,000 people, and I remember at 19 years old thinking, if there is a God, I could use a little protection right about now. But I don't know if it was superstition or religion that turned me to the Bible the next game. And I wore number 27, so I looked up the 27th Psalm, and it said, "The Lord is my rock, whom shall I fear? When evil men come to destroy me, they shall stumble and fall." So I read that passage in the hotel every night before the next game, and it just gave me such peace. And I don't know how that relates to this piece, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Great.
I think you should be a football coach, sure. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. And I know God has gotten a hold of you, and you continue to allow God to be at work in your life, and you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And so, Forey, it is my privilege to reaffirm your baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God, we continue to pray for Forrest. We ask that you would surround him with your power and your strength. And we thank you so much, God, for the gift of faith that you've given to him, for the courage that he's found in your word, and for the strength that he's found in the truth of your word. And I pray that will continue to enter into his life. Lord, that you would mold him and continue to help him grow closer and closer to you and become more and more like Jesus Christ every single day. For that's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Great. And we've got one more reaffirmation that is going for immersion. Where's Michelle? There she is. Fantastic. All right. And we'll kind of part the seas here.
All right.
Yeah, have you come forward, Michelle. Share a little bit about what this moment means to you.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going here to this church and actually was baptized as an infant. But let's see, hold on a second. I came to know and love Jesus through amazing leaders and youth leaders at CPC, Logos, which is now Wildside, and going to houseboats and in Mexico. And I remember giving my life to Christ on a rock in Mexico, just praying, and that really moved me and changed everything. So it just reignited and solidified my faith in God. And today I'm reaffirming just because I love the Lord and I just want to grow deeper in knowing him. And this is for my husband and children and family. But also I was really encouraged and inspired by Rif Kaberi. She wrote the book Hiding in the Light, Why She Left Islam to Follow Jesus. And just I just want to never take knowing God for granted. And just I know people are really risking their lives to follow Jesus. So I want to just live boldly in him, and I love God.
Fantastic. Do you want to share a verse with us?
Oh, yeah.
Take your time. Take your time.
All right, so I love this one. It's Romans 8:38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen to that. Thanks, Michelle. Fantastic. Ready?
All right. It's okay. So one thing that's really cool about being a pastor, and Bill and I were just talking about this, is that you get to be, and Scott, you embodied this by baptizing your grandson just a few minutes ago. You get to be a part of people's lives at these critical moments. And Bill's daughters are in your class. You're a PE teacher here locally, and they love you, and you minister to those kids greatly. Yeah. And it was a privilege to be able to marry you and Andre several years ago and see your kids now growing up. And so now, based on your profession of faith and that beautiful testimony you just shared, Michelle, it's a privilege to reaffirm your baptism. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Congratulations. All right. And now we're switching gears from those who have reaffirmed their baptism and own that to those for whom today is the day, those who are taking the plunge. And so, Tyler, you want to share a little bit about this sacrament, baptism, and what it signifies?
Just got my arms dried off, Bill. I can open. Now I could open the Bible. Baptism is so great, and it's a sacrament that we celebrate. And here's what it is. It's all about Christ and covenant and community. It's all about Christ. It's a picture of the grace of Christ. It's a symbol of the gospel of Christ. It's a celebration of the glory of Christ. Baptism is all about Christ. I just want to read you a brief scripture from Romans chapter 6. It might be familiar to you. Paul says this, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism, and that the water would be a symbol of being buried and cleansed by the water. We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, you just saw coming up out of the water, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is all about Christ. And secondly, it's about covenant. Covenant is a binding relationship based on a promise. And the covenant community is a community of God where in the Old Testament, as Scott mentioned earlier, it was symbolized by circumcision. We're not going to do any of those this morning. But in the New Covenant, it's symbolized by baptism. And I just want to read Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 and following, where Jeremiah is talking about a new covenant that God promises, and he inaugurates in Christ Jesus and symbolizes through the sacrament of baptism. Here's what God's word says. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after that time. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And then here's this beautiful verse right here. He says, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Isn't that amazing? And as Bill mentioned earlier, he said, it's like a wedding today. We're at a wedding celebration. And if you've ever been to a wedding, and probably most of us have, you see that after they make their vows, they exchange what? Rings. And it isn't the ring itself that makes them married. It symbolizes the marriage. The vows are what make them married. And it isn't the waters of baptism, either the tank or by sprinkling, that makes someone a Christian. It symbolizes the commitment that they've made as a Christ follower. That's the covenant of baptism. And then thirdly, community. We do it in community because God exists in community. He calls us into community. You see what's so cool about seeing all these people up here today, men, women, and children, is we see a picture of the very community, and you are a part of this community. That's why we baptize in the midst of the church. Isn't this a beautiful picture? And then here, let's just throw a fourth C in there too. It's commission. When you come up out of the waters of baptism, and you are commissioned to go and to help other people proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and even be baptized. And that's whether you're sprinkled or immersed here this morning. Should we have some baptisms? Should we? Yeah? You ready for them? Okay. Okay. So, oh gosh, the fifth and sixth graders, I'm so excited for this. Are you ready?
Elaine sprinkling first.
Oh, okay. Elaine first.
Yeah.
Okay, Elaine Dean, why don't you come up here? We're going to start with Elaine sprinkling.
Sprinkling.
Yeah? that's so good. Did you see that? Did you see the moment of horror? She thought the tank was in play for a minute. Are you still ready to do this?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Elaine, do you have a brief testimony that you would like to share this morning?
I became a Christian through Campus Crusade when I was a student at UC Berkeley.
And that was a wonderful thing. And I joined First Presbyterian Church in Berkeley and then moved out here, and I didn't really, out to Lafayette, didn't really find a church there that just was right for me. And then I was in Jiffy Lube one day, and this woman said,
"Are you serious?"
She lives in Moraga.
It's amazing.
And she said, "Oh, I found a church that's great. It's out in Danville." And she gave me the little thing for the Christmas service about a year and a half ago. And I thought, this must be a great church. So I came out here, and it was just what I was looking for. So that's not my testimony, but that's
how you came here.
That's
a testimony. You like it? Yeah. Well, what a treat to have you go public with your faith in this way, Elaine, based on your prior confession of Christ. And thank you for blessing us with that testimony. It's a privilege to baptize you, Elaine, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks. Elaine, here you go. Yeah. I love it. You see, Elaine is quick. Like, number one, she was like, "Oh no, don't put me in that tank." And then number two, she started to walk away. She's all, "Where's my towel?" She just whipped right back. "Well, give me that towel right now." I love it. I love it. Okay. Boys and girls coming in here. Oh, I love this. Who should we start with here?
I say start with Andrew.
Andrew, okay. I saw you over here. Love it. Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Yeah.
It's a big day.
Big day. Fun watching you go to school at SRVCA, Andrew. Seeing you in class with my boys. You excited for today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, based on, do you have anything you want to share? I just don't want to cut you off.
No.
No, you're good? Well, I just want you to know that I'm so encouraged that you're taking this step. Do you see your church family out there? Those are your brothers and sisters out there. You want to wave to Andrew so he knows? Yeah. Well, they're so excited for you, and they're going to be praying for you. And based on your confession of faith, it's a privilege to baptize you, Andrew, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Awesome.
Way to go. All right. Way to go, buddy.
Congratulations.
All right.
Way to go.
Bill, Megan's
Amelia,
up next.
Amelia, what do you say?
Oh,
you ready to do this? All right. Come on in here, Amelia. Step down here.
Great job, buddy.
All right, Amelia, as your church family is watching this moment and we are witnesses of the fact that you have said yes to Jesus Christ, it is our privilege as your church family to now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. God bless you, Amelia.
Okay, Hadley.
Congratulations.
Ready to go next? Why don't you stand right here? You have a little testimony that you wanted to share, and it was so cute. Hadley and your mom came in, and you wanted to meet because you wanted to go over this and make sure this was cool, that you would be able to share this in front of the church. So you ready?
All right. Look out there. There you
go. Look out here.
And there you go.
You can just read that.
I am sorry that I have messed up. I need Jesus. I found out Jesus saved me from my mess-ups. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose to life to save me. I believe this and ask Jesus in my heart. I need him to help me not to mess up, and I want to tell everybody that I have Jesus in my heart. I love Jesus.
Awesome. There you go.
Okay. Great job. Hadley, based on your profession of faith in Jesus, and thank you for sharing that beautiful testimony, it is a privilege to baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job, Hadley. Congratulations. All right. Megan, you ready to do this? All right. Megan, take a look. Besides your family, you got your whole church family staring at you right now because this is your big moment. We're excited for you. And so, Megan, having heard you say yes to Jesus and put your trust in him, he claims you as his very own daughter. And so, Megan, it is our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right. Congratulations.
Okay, Lucy, are you ready? Last but certainly not least here this morning. Let me help you in here. Do you have anything that you'd like to share, or are you good to go? She's like, I am good to go. We, like 10 seconds ago, I looked over and I gave her that look. I said, you know, Lucy, like, are you ready? And she looked at Michelle. You're so ready. Well, Lucy, where's your family? They're right there. Do you just want to wave to mom? Yeah, she's very excited for you. Okay. Well, based on your profession of faith in Jesus, it's a privilege to baptize you, Lucy, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. All right. Wasn't that amazing? Oh my gosh. We are gonna sing one more song, but before we sing a song that will just kind of like capture this moment and give us a chance to pour out and celebrate, we're gonna close with a song called This Is Amazing Grace. There is a cool line that popped out from that song this morning when I was hearing it in rehearsal, like it never has before. Just knowing that we were gonna have these two services with all these moving parts and different people and pastors and boys and girls and men and women, it was just like, oh Lord, this is going to be beautiful chaos. And then the song This Is Amazing Grace came on, and there's that line that says, who turns our chaos back into order? Who calls the orphan a son or daughter? It's the Lord who does that. And one of the things that I was so excited to share, just as a wrap-up for here this morning, there's a little passage in the book of Titus. You probably don't spend much time reading in Titus. There's a little passage in Titus chapter 3 that gives a beautiful breakdown of what we just heard over and over and over again for two services now. These death to life stories, these before and after stories that I was this way and then Jesus got a hold of me and now I walk this way, the transformation that he's made. And we see it here in Titus chapter 3. Let me just read you, and I'll share a couple words, then we'll pray and sing. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And why did he save us? So that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saving. And then, it's great. He says, I want you to stress these things. That's why we celebrate. That's why we have a service like this, where it's just that where the baptisms and the reaffirmation of baptisms and the anointings and the membership and the dedications and the testimonies, those are the things that we stress over and over. He says, I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Amen? Last thing. This morning as I was reading over this and praying for it, I realized over and over and over again, we're reminded that it's not what we bring to the table, it's not what we've done, it's not what we can do, it's what God has done, it's what Jesus has done, it's what he's offered us. And here it is right here, 10 times in 4 verses in the center of this passage, we're reminded that it's all about Jesus and the life, his life that we get to celebrate in our midst. It says, He saved us. His mercy, he had mercy on us. He saved us. He washed us. He gave us new birth and renewal. He poured out on us generously. He saved us. He justified us by his grace. He made us heirs, and he gave us the hope of eternal life. All that 10 things that Jesus had done right there in the middle of that passage. Isn't that amazing? And so we get to celebrate what he has done and what he is doing, and we get to lean in expectantly to what he's going to do in the future of our great church. Amen? Should we sing together? All right.